here. This was probably, this week in Ohio was probably the hottest week I've experienced. And if you enjoyed it, then maybe salvation's not for you and you will enjoy. I don't know, but I will say that I am glad that I surrendered to Jesus, because that's wicked, wicked. All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I just pray that every word that comes out of my mouth is just hand-delivered to your people from your throne through your spirit through me, that I'm nothing but a glove, Lord. Just put me on. Just as I rip open my heart today, Father, I just pray, Lord, that it would just be encouraging to someone else to do the same. Let my words be your words and my actions be your actions, Jesus. Amen. Heart of worship. Those of you that plan on coming to a church where leaders have it put together, or, you know, we spoon feed you something that makes you feel good, you might want to see yourself to the car. But I'm just going to be raw. I'm going to be real. Holy Spirit's led me this spring through a dry place and a desert place, through the wilderness. And I just want to give you a glimpse into what happened in my heart. And I think it's kind of funny that this started at the beginning of spring, and we just turned over into a new season. June 21st began summer, and this is a new season of worship. And I feel like Pastor Ben. Like, I need to do some jumping jacks, but you guys don't want to see that. Oh man, this is just. My heart for the last 3 months has just been ripped open. So this is not going to be put together. As you guys all know who I am, you know my family. We've been here basically my entire life. I've played drums here at Abundant Life for 18 years, which, sitting down, writing that down, I was like, man, Pastor Mark's getting old. And worship has been my happy place. Worship's my comfort zone. About 3 years ago, I got the local church drummer's dream phone call from Kelly, and she asked me if I would come and fill in for a Heart of David worship night. And kind of nervously, reluctantly, I told her, I guess, if you don't have anybody else to do it. I actually wrote Tanner, wherever Tanner's at, I wrote Tanner into it that evening as well. And, you know, thanks for your yes, Tanner. But I've played here for 18 years. I've played with Heart of David for 3. And then at the end of 2023, November actually, we were at Real Living Ministries and getting ready to go there. I told Bethany that I didn't want to do it. Like, I wasn't feeling it. I felt like I'd arrived in this place of, like, going and doing that wasn't joyful, and it was almost work. I was just going to work. I was going to play the drums. I wasn't going to worship, Heart of David worship night. I was going to work. And what I'd come to Real Living that evening, we get there And I thought this morning was fitting, because this exact example was in my notes today. But we come to Real Living, And we get there, and, you know, the sound system's doing what sound system does. I don't know how they change every 4 hours, but every 4 hours, nothing works. It's like a complete system factory reset, and then you just start over. And, you know, thanks to Mark and Jake, you know, they kind of keep it corralled. But every now and then, things get a little squirrely. But we're at Heart of David at Real Living Ministries November 17th, and my ears weren't working. We spent the entire practice time trying to get hearing to the drummer. I can't be in a box that keeps all of the sound from getting out if I can't hear what's going on the outside of that box. So we spent the entire warm-up getting sound to me. We prayed, we go live. And the entire time we're live, I'm drumming, and I'm tucked over on the right-hand side of their stage, and there's a lady that's singing in front of me, and they change every now and then. Every time they change, somebody's coming up, and they step on my cable, and my hearing goes away. And then, boom, it popped right back in my ears. And when sound goes out and comes back on, it's not just like off and then back on. It's off, and then it's a million miles an hour, you know, 1,000% volume into your eardrums. And I wasn't getting electrocuted by the Holy Spirit that evening. It was just the sound scaring the crap out of me. But it was just snap, crackle, and pop the whole night. I was frustrated the entire time. I was upset that I had to go. I was frustrated in the moment, and I was frustrated when I got home. And I told Beth, like, the Lord wasn't in me drumming tonight. The Lord wasn't in me drumming. This morning we get here, we run through a sound check for some stuff, and then halfway through the sound check, the ear system decides to get buggy. And then these guys pulled off, you know, what I thought was pretty good worship. They'll all tell you that it was terrible. But I thought, you know, worship was solid, quality-wise was solid, considering the challenges that they faced. But what I'd come to realize about 3 months ago was that I started worshiping worship. Worship, it's weird to think about it that way, but worship had become an idol in my life. So we get to, we'll pick up the story in March. March, I told Beth this is just a little wild pipe dream that she had. She calls it a God vision. But she and Connie were planning the seminar Saturday that was to take place at the beginning of April. And she saw a picture of her singing, Aubrey playing piano, and me playing the cajon, and asked Connie if we could lead worship for the opening of that seminar Saturday. And it was almost immediate that I felt the Lord put it in me to lead worship for that event. I'm a drummer, right? I sit inside of that glass box. That glass box is that's my comfort zone. I can sit in there and I can fake it until I make it because I'm comfortable and I'm confident inside of my comfort zone. But I felt the Lord put that on me to lead worship. And I was like, well, how in the heck can I lead worship from the drums? That's going to sound dumb. And I asked Beth, I was like, don't we have a guitar? Like, I think the Lord's telling me I need to play the guitar. So she dug out what was my grandpa's guitar. It was all dusty and beat up. It was in the corner of the closet in a gig bag. And this thing was so far out of tune. I didn't even know how to tune a guitar. I didn't have a pick. I didn't have anything. I just sat down. I Googled a couple of chords, and off I went. Off I went. We led worship for that seminar Saturday, Beth and I. Connie and Kat actually bailed us out. But I will promise you that that was not to the quality level that Bobby had expected it to be. Actually, Lindsay even told me I looked, but we did look and sound ridiculous. It's a true story, Lindsay. I'm just calling it as I see it. You did. Now it's on record. So I learned in April that, you know, I probably shouldn't do this. It was really bad. And then around that same time, we were driving, I won't mention any names, but we were driving towards Salem on Route 14, and there was this billboard on the side of the highway that said, "It's okay to drink your coffee during worship." And that so gripped my spirit. It was just like I got punched right in my gut. It so gripped me. And that's when Holy Spirit dropped that phrase in me that you've been worshiping worship, and you need to look at the plank in your own stinking eye before you try to look at the speck in someone else's. Oh. Oh. It hurt. And Holy Spirit led me. I've already told you, this isn't going to be put together. Get over it. C.S. Lewis has a saying that I came across in this process for a few months ago, and it says, "The almost impossible thing is to hand over your whole self to Christ." Holy Spirit wanted me to die to myself. When I saw that billboard, at first I made fun of it until he told me that there's something wrong with your heart too, Bobby. Here I am, I'm part of a worship team for going on 20 years, and I'm sitting back there ministering to the people, not ministering to the Lord anymore. What it was Holy Spirit said, "Bobby, just like the church at Ephesus that we talk about in Revelation 2, you're doing the good works of the kingdom. You're doing the things faithfully. You're faithful in worship. But you've lost sight of your why. You don't remember the why behind your love." And I lost sight of the why I worship. And I was worshiping in vain. I was worshiping out of selfish desire. I would get done and I would ask Beth, "How did the drum sound?" And I already knew she was going to say, "Good." And it was like, well, of course, it was me. June 2nd, we had a prayer night here. First Sunday of every month that evening, there's a prayer service here. It's a little plug for that. If you're free the first Sunday evening of every month, come and join us. There's no agenda other than to just get together, pray. Whatever comes out of that. And after church that Sunday, 2:00 in the afternoon, Pastor Shane sent me a message, and I want to back up. At the end of May, we had a remnant meeting at my house, and I just kind of played guitar for a hot second for that. And afterwards, somebody had texted me a prophetic word vision that they had that I'm hiding behind instruments, that I need to use the instrument that the Lord had given me. And then I told them they're stupid. I didn't actually, but felt like it. And then come June 2nd, Pastor Shane asked me and Bethany to come and do worship for... Are you guys okay with just stories for a minute? Good, because I have the microphone. And we're going to disappear backstage. Pastor Shane had asked me to do worship with Bethany on June 2nd. And we showed up to do so. I could do like a puppet show back here, Mark. Ta-da! We showed up to do so. We plugged in, did a hot sound check real fast, and went to play, and holy cow, did it sound like garbage. And I was sweating bullets. Pastor Jeff kind of referenced this a couple of weeks ago. Actually, I thought I might die right here. so terrified, so scared, so completely out of the waters of the comfortable, out of my boat, super scary outside of that box. But I'm being obedient, so I show up, we do it. About halfway through the set, I mean, I'm a hot mess. Like, I needed a change of clothes, and it was just a real challenge. Because, like I said, I have confidence and comfortability in myself in that box, and I can do anything. But out here, it's scary. Out here, I don't know how to navigate. And then that evening, I read after we were done during the prayer service. I was just sitting back where Trevor's sitting, and I'm sitting there reading, and I'm in Psalm 98. I'd been reading through the Psalms. I'm in Psalm 98, and I just want to read this to you. It says, "Go ahead, sing your brand new song to the Lord. He is famous for his miracles and marvels, for he is victorious through his mighty power and holy strength. Everyone knows how God has saved us, for he has displayed his justice throughout history. He never forgets to show us his love and faithfulness, how kind he has been to Israel. All the nations know how he stands behind his people and how he saves his own. So go ahead, Bobby, and shout out your praises with joy. Break out of the box and let loose with the most joyous sound of praise. Sing your melody of praise to the Lord and make music like never before." It was the Lord meeting me in a moment of distress when I'm sitting there just tail spinning, because at that time I still have pieces in me that are still clinging to and worship, and I still have pieces on in me, idols in me that care what it sounds like, and he's sitting there just saying, "Shut up and do it." So we're called. We are called to leave the comfortable, sing and play like never before, because he assures us that his faithfulness will not fail us. He will meet us there with a grace to do what he calls you to do. So these last few months, this spring season, has just been about me repenting over and over and over again, just repenting and just examining the inside of my heart as I've come and I've just ripped off another layer of the onion, and I've let Holy Spirit come in and scrub out a couple of different things here and there, and I've let him into these areas and point out where quality or entertainment or materialism has crept into my worship, where I know I'm a bad person, but I'll sit back here sometimes and be like, you know, they ruined my favorite song. I'm not the only one that thinks that. Or I'll sit here and be like, "Oh man, them lights back there, I like them, but man, they move too fast." Or "I don't like that color." Or, you know, maybe this, that, or the other, or whatever. You know, there's all of these entertainment things that come in. Worship has become an idol in the Church of the West. Not just in Bobby's life. Holy Spirit's not highlighting this to me because I'm the only person in this building today that has had these thoughts. I just get to be the jerk that tells you about it. But what I want is a new destiny for Cato's. I want Aubrey and Levi to see what it looks like to worship with a heart unabandoned. I want them to walk in freedom and just a joyful expression, and no matter what it looks like, no matter the cost. And that comes with me laying down myself on the altar and killing every selfish desire, because Jesus is the only thing that matters. My idea behind worship doesn't matter. The sound of worship doesn't matter. I've heard Pastor Mark tell me before that we should be able to worship to a kazoo. So that's a long backstory to today's topic. So I looked up worship, and I pulled just a couple of definitions. The first one's from the Lexham Theological Workbook, and worship is the odd response to the saving acts and praiseworthy character of God. The Easton Bible Dictionary says that it is homage rendered to God, which is sinful to render to any created being. The theologian Paul Grimes says it this way: just as you can't exhale before you have first inhaled, so it is with worshiping God. Before I have anything to offer to him, I must first receive from him. The God who breathed life into Adam now breathes his life into his son Jesus breathes the life of his son Jesus into his children as he bestows on us all of Christ's benefits. And then filled with that breath, we can't help but exhale the thanks and praise that flow from a cleansed heart. So simply put, worship becomes a lifestyle. It's not something that starts and ends. It's not something that begins our church services. It's simply a response to what we've freely been given. Paul puts it this way in Romans 12. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? To surrender yourselves to God to be the sacred living sacrifices and live a holiness experience, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total transformation or total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. So I'd been okay with putting on a show. But what I wasn't okay with was the complete transformation that God wanted. God wanted all of me, and I was okay with sitting on the throne beside him. That just breaks my heart. Holy Spirit led me to Jeremiah chapter 4. And then that's going to be our verses for today. We're going to read it in the Passion Translation. God speaking to the people of Israel, the house of Israel. But since his word is the same yesterday and today, God was speaking this word of repentance to Bobby. And now he's offering to you, if you find these little nooks and crannies within your heart that are left unscrubbed, man, don't wait. All right, so Jeremiah chapter 4. I, Yahweh, say to Israel, listen, if you turn to come back to me, then return to me with all of your heart. If you remove your disgusting idols from before my face, then come home and never stray from my presence again. If you make a promise in my name, saying, as surely as Yahweh lives, with truth, honesty, and integrity, then everyone else will desire his blessing and prosperity. They will shine and make their boast in me. Yahweh says to the people of Judah and Jerusalem, as a plow breaks open untilled ground, break open your hard heart. Don't sow good seed among the thorn. Listen, circumcise your hearts and become vulnerable to me again. If you do not, my anger is going to rise up like an unquenchable fire on account of your evil deeds. So we have three things here listed as a requirement to getting back to the heart of worship. Three things that Holy Spirit's walked me through that I just want to lay out there for you guys. And the first action that God requires of us is to reject our idols. Matthew 15, it says, they pretend to worship me, but their worship is nothing more than empty traditions of men. So I ask you and I challenge you to ask Holy Spirit to reveal to you what stands in the way. What stands in the way of true worship for you? Your worship doesn't need to look like my worship, but our worship sure isn't going to look like drinking coffee and watching a band perform. Is your idol materialism? Do the lights matter? Does the sound matter? Does the quality matter? Do smoke machines matter to you? Do you worship better at a concert venue with Brandon Lake on a stage and 20,000 people than you do here? Is your worship self-centered? Mine was. Do you care what people think about? It's an idol. It's yourself in the way. Selfishness in the way. I went through a period of my life where I wouldn't raise my hands in worship because I cared what the person beside me thought or the person behind me. And I had every excuse in the books. I mean, this wingspan is not little. But, man, it seems like a stupid act to talk about, but, just lifting your hands in worship, just complete surrender to Jesus. You know, we use the arts and creativity to I don't want to use the word produce, but produce worship, right? Right. We're musicians and we care about our craft and we practice our craft. But I think religion has bent creativity. I think religion has got a hold of the arts. And we care so much about the stinking production that very production has become the idol of worship. Number two. Number one is rejecting idols. Number two is a commitment to his presence. To get back to the heart of worship, we have to be committed to the presence of Jesus. And that commitment first requires us to reject our idols. The word presence is the same word for face. So wherever the face of God is looking is where we should be going. We should be looking to where the face of the Lord is looking. And we can't do that unless we're dedicated to seeing where he's seeing, seeing what he's seeing. What's he looking at? Where is he going? He's not going to be walking like this. He's going to be, we got to watch where he's going. Being committed to his presence means we have to be committed to being awkward sometimes. Sometimes we have to be okay with just waiting. Are we okay with silence? Just wait and listen on the Lord. This commitment comes at a tremendous cost. Jesus told us to count this cost. Paul reiterates it, and he understood it, that to live as Christ, to die as gain. It's going to require every fiber of your being, because if any fiber of your being is counter to his holiness, then we're probably not going in the exact same direction. We can't parallel the presence of God. Commitment to his presence is a commitment to being ridiculous. Sometimes being ridiculous is the key to the miraculous. If you want the miraculous, you have to get comfortable with being ridiculous. You have to lay down complete control. And when you finally press through, that's where the heart of worship is. When there's nothing left but Yeshua. Nothing but Yeshua. I was reading this book by Jeremy Riddle, and he was talking about, he was a worship leader for Bethel, and his first week on, he mentions that he was 45 minutes into his worship set. And after 45 minutes, he said he'd already burned through the four-song set list that he came with. And then he also burned through what he called his pocket songs, everything that he could just pull out of his butt at any moment and do. And then he was panicking because he didn't have anything else. And at that time, the pastor that was on staff that day, whatever, came up and relieved him. And then the next week, Bill Johnson was in the house, wasn't there the week prior. So week number two for Jeremy Riddle, he's on stage, and he is 2 hours into a worship set, way past what he came prepared to do. And Bill told him that that's his test for worship leaders, because he wants to know where you can go and worship after everything that you've put together is out of the way and everything that you've practiced is gone. Can you press deeper into his presence? Can you worship deeper without yourself in the way and without your agenda that you've put together? Jeremy had to learn to just be committed to his presence, just keep digging and keep digging, keep digging, keep digging, until the pastor told him that it was done. We came prepared. The last thing we have is when we're getting back to the heart of worship, we have to learn to worship with integrity. We have to worship acknowledging the truth of who God is. John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he says, from now on, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place, but with the right heart. For God is the Spirit, and he longs to have sincere worshipers who adore him in the realm of the Spirit and in truth. So how do we worship in spirit and in truth? Number one, we need to study what truth is. We need to study the truth. We need to read our word, right? When we read our word, we get to know him. When we read our word, we learn what moves his heart. When we read our word, that word comes over us, cleanses us, washes us, and gets us prepared to be presented as righteous. It conditions the soil of this hard heart. So we study the truth, and then we sing the truth. We sing those very same principles that we're learning in Scripture that move the Lord, the things the Lord tells us about himself through Scripture, the things he tells us about himself in our private times. And we sing those promises back to him. We sing those words back to him. We were just doing it over Jeff earlier. He's a way maker, a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. He's not going to fail, Jeff. I don't know what's going on in Jeff's life. But I promise you that the Lord is a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's still a promise keeper. His word's not going to return void. It doesn't matter the bridge of that song. Even when Jeff doesn't see it, he's working. And even when he doesn't feel it, the Lord's still working. His promises are his promises. The word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he wants us to take the word that he spoke to the Israelites in Jeremiah chapter 4. He wants us to rip open our hearts. Rip open the innermost part of our being. Lay everything about me down. You think it was easy for Abraham to take Isaac up on the mountain, tie him up, and lay him down? This level of surrender to get back to the heart of worship isn't the easiest thing. It's easier to sit in our seats and watch people do things. It's easier to live through someone else's revelation. So much easier than digging in and reading the truth for yourself, and so much easier than digging in and singing that truth back to the Lord myself. And it's so much easier than living that truth sometimes. Because you have to face some hard realities. But once you face it, you experience the complete transformation of the mind. And when you have the complete transformation of your mind, then and only then does the behavior follow suit. And I want... Oh, man. That's dangerous. That's probably not nice. Whatever. If you claim to have had a transformation of your mind and your behavior hasn't followed suit, then I question the legitimacy of that transformation. And so should you. I was victim to it. Worship leader for 20 years, if we can call drummers worship leaders. Are we allowed to do that? Part of a worship team for 20 years almost. And I sat up here and I did it in vain for almost 6 months. Talk about grieving the spirit. You wonder why the wheels fall off your life. But I had to dig in, and I had to just fall back on his promises. And when he told me to do something, I just shut my mouth and I did it. I evaluated the plank that was stuck in my eye. I addressed the issue with my heart. I let Holy Spirit come into me and scrub everything out of my heart. Still a work in progress. I'm not telling you I've arrived. There's still a whole lot of dumb stuff that happens between these ears. Worship team wants to come. They can come. So as I close out today, I really just want to invite you to come with me on the journey back to the heart of worship. It's not about sound. It doesn't matter how good or how bad you sing. It's not about how good or how bad you dance. It's about you being completely surrendered to Jesus and then just living out in complete freedom everything that he has convicted you to do. My convictions are not Sherry's convictions, and Sherry's convictions are not Patrick's convictions. If I live my life modeled after her convictions, I live in sin. And I was victim to that for a hot minute. Let's stand. Walls of your heart, your internal being. You're a temple now. And just as Jesus showed up on the scene and was flipping tables, what I don't want is I don't want Holy Spirit hanging out in the corner of my heart, standing there making a whip, waiting for me to get the point. I don't want him getting to the point to where he loses his temper. So I want you to take the journey that I was taking on this spring and walk the innermost parts of your being. And is there bitterness held up somewhere? Is there an idol of entertainment or materialism that's standing in the way? Is there selfishness packaged up nice and tidy in the corner? Is the fear of man smeared on the wall? I want you to repent of those areas. This is just something that is between you and the Lord.